The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 11, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 11th, 2007, in Suva, Fiji.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, text number 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ye yatamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham mama vartamanu vartante manushya sarvas manushya parata sarvashah. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Everyone is searching for Krishna in the different aspects of His manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in His impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence and as the all-pervading Supersoul, dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by His pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization. And thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have Him. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with His pure devotees in the transcendental attitude, just as the devotee wants Him. One devotee may want Krishna as Supreme Master, another as his personal friend, another as his son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally according to their different necessities, or rather intensities, of love for Him. In the material world, the same reciprocations of feeling are there, and they are equally exchanged with the Lord with the different types of worshippers. The pure devotees, both here and in the transcendental abode, associate with Him in person and are able to render personal service to the Lord and thus derive transcendental bliss in His loving service. As for those who are impersonalists and who want to commit spiritual suicide by annihilating the individual existence of a living entity, Krishna helps them also by absorbing them into His effulgence. Such impersonalists do not agree to accept the eternal blissful personality of Godhead. Consequently, they cannot relish the bliss of transcendental personal service to the Lord, having extinguished their individuality. Some of them, can someone bring water? Any water will do. Some of them who are not firmly situated even in the impersonal existence return to this material world to exhibit their dormant desires for activation or for activities. They are not admitted into the spiritual planets, but they are again given a chance to act on the material planets. For those who are fruitive workers, the Lord awards the desired result of their prescribed duties as the Yageshwar. And those who are yogis seeking mystic powers are awarded such powers. In other words, everyone is dependent for success upon His mercy alone. And all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. Unless, therefore, one comes to the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, all attempts remain imperfect. As is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10, Akama sarvakamo ma moksha kama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham puram. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of all fruit of activities, or is after liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, complete perfection culminating in Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Temanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. No water? Coming? He has to go all the way to town for the water. So, this is a very, very wonderful thing, actually. No one can escape Krishna, actually. It's not possible. Even those who are going after material sense gratification. That is also the energy of Krishna. They are simply trying to come in the back door, let's say. The transcendentalists, they are trying to enter through the front door. But there are different entrances. There is the entrance way of Brahman realization. There is the entrance way of Paramatma realization. And there is the entrance way, Bhagavan realization. Brahmaiti Paramatmaiti Bhagavan Itti Shabyate. So, the learned transcendentalists describe this non-dual substance as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. There are the different aspects. The impersonalist wants to merge. He wants to become one with God. He considers the absolute truth to be formless oneness. And he wants to merge into and become that formless oneness that he calls God. He wants to become God. But actually this desire is simply another manifestation of material desire. In material life, everyone tries to get ahead. They try to get ahead by making more money. They try to get ahead by having a bigger position in the government, by trying to become more predominant scientist, etc., etc. But these are all simply failures, because no matter what position one may achieve in this material world, it is all taken away. You may achieve very big position even as Brahmaji, but it will all be taken away. So, they fail to achieve all these big positions. So, in this way, they think, well, let me become God, and then I will get the biggest position. You see? But that also, they cannot remain in that position of Brahman realization. Avruya kritchena parang padam tatha padantyato nadritu yushmarangreha. Bhagavatam says, because they have no regard for the lotus feet of the Lord, patanti yadho, they fall down again into material existence. So, even though that is certainly a manifestation of Krishna, it is called perfect realization, Brahman realization. Bhagavan, or I mean to say, Paramatma realization, that is called more perfect realization. And Bhagavan realization, that is most perfect realization. Those on the path of Paramatma realization, they develop the mystic siddhis, the Ashta siddhis. But they again become diverted by this idea that they are in the supersolar one. And they again become entrapped in the material nature. So if one actually wants to be on the safe side, if one wants to get out of the quagmire of material existence, then one needs to come to the platform of Bhagavan realization, Krishna consciousness. That is the program that we are teaching you in this Krishna consciousness movement. We are teaching you how to come to the platform of Bhagavan realization. Even though everything is a manifestation of Krishna, there are the pleasant manifestations of Krishna and the unpleasant manifestations of Krishna. Just like here in your country, your beautiful country of Fiji, you have different manifestations of the government. You have the University of South Pacific, you see. And you also have the high security prison. They are both manifestations of the government. So where would you like to be engaged? Is it the same thing to be engaged at the University of South Pacific as it is to be engaged in the high security prison? Is it the same thing? No. Even though it is in both cases you're engaged by the government of Fiji, there's a very big difference. So, to be caught up in material sense gratification, that means to be engaged in the prison. This material world is prison house. It is the penitentiary for those who are rebellious against the Lord. To those who tried to, who were unsuccessful in their attempts to pull off a coup. In Fiji, the coup is a very popular pastime now. It's become the national pastime up there with rugby and grog, I think. It's a national entertainment. When people get bored, they say, let's have another coup. You see? So in Fiji, you may be able to pull off a coup. It seems to be the easiest place in the world to pull off a coup. Within about 2 or 3 weeks, you know, the deposed government will say, yes, we now accept the new government. This takes 2 or 3 weeks. All right, we acknowledge there's a new government. So it may be easy to pull off a coup here in Fiji, but Krishna, he has a much more heavy-duty government than Fiji does. If you try to pull off a coup with Krishna, you won't make it. You'll end up in a high security prison. You see? That is called this material existence. Very high security prison. You can't escape from it by force. Sometimes the prisoners, they escape the prison. They will dig a tunnel and then go that way, or they will bribe. They have ways of bringing the guards under their control. They call it duck. The prisoners can turn prison officials, prison employees into ducks by tricking them in various ways. They have tactics they use to bring the prison employees under their control, like saying, well, you know, my wife lives in town. Could you go see her on her birthday? And so the prison official, the guard thinks, well, I'll be nice to this prisoner. He goes to visit his wife to give a birthday present from her husband, something like that. And then she'll accuse that, oh, he raped me. And then she threatens to go and report that he raped me. It's the whole thing is just made up. And then the guard, so he's not, of course it's false, but so in this way, the prisoners are able to do all these different tactics to bring the prison employees under their control. So they will do things like smuggling them a guard's uniform in so many ways. So the point is, there are many ways that the prisoners can get out of the prison in this material world. But the prison of Krishna, you cannot escape by any material technique. It's not possible. Brahman realization, it's just a weekend path, you see. Becoming a yogi, the yogi can also enter the spiritual world, but not to remain there. They can sometimes go. Powerful yogi. But they cannot remain. The only persons who can remain in the spiritual world are those persons who qualify themselves to be residents of the spiritual world by the process of devotional service. So just because different systems have some connection with Krishna doesn't mean that they are desirable. This morning in the Bhagavatam class we were studying how there may be some temporary relief, clarification. You may take one small body of water and through chemicals you may clear the dirt out of that small pond of water. But if there's a big body of water, then only if by nature's way can it be done. You can't do it by chemicals. There's a huge, huge body of water. So in this way, we may have some temporary relief from material existence by Brahman realization, Paramatma realization. But it cannot be permanent. It cannot be permanent and lasting. Unless we come to the point of devotional service. Therefore, we should learn the pathway of bhakti. We should seriously take up this pathway of bhakti yoga. This process of bhakti yoga is a very wonderful process. Because it revives one's eternal identity. Just as the Supreme Lord is eternal, the living being is eternal. Just as the Supreme Lord is full of knowledge, the living entity is full of knowledge. Just as the living entity, the Supreme Lord is full of bliss, the living entity is also full of bliss. We, the living entity, share the same nature of God. So does it make any sense why we should suffer? If we share the same nature of God, that means to suffer is completely insane. It's absolutely insane. It's an aberration. It is abnormal. It is sickness to be suffering. That's all. We are meant by our nature to enjoy on an equal level with God. We simply have to revive that dormant, enlightened consciousness within the heart. So Krishna is very mercifully giving to us the system of bhakti yoga. If we will seriously follow this system with full sincerity of attitude, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, then it is sure and certain that we will become perfect in love of God. And we will taste the highest happiness at every minute. Brahma saukhyam anantam. If we can simply take shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, samashrutaye pallava pavam mahatpadam punya jasho murare bhavambadir vatsa paramparam padam padam vidam param padam yadvidam nadesham. For those who take shelter of the bow of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation, who is famous for wiping out that demon, Mura, obliterating him. For those persons who take shelter of that boat, the vast ocean, you see, here we have Pacific Ocean. It appears to be a very vast ocean, but actually it is nothing compared to the vast ocean of material existence. That vast ocean of material existence becomes reduced down to the amount of water within the hoofprint of a calf. Vatsa padam. Their aim, their destination, those persons who take shelter of those lotus feet, that boat of the lotus feet, their destination is param padam, the Vaikuntha realm, not that place, padam padam yadvipadam natesham, where there is danger at every step. This material world is very, very, very dangerous place. At any moment, we can be kicked out of this body by the laws of nature, the cruel laws of nature. Very cruel, exacting laws. Just like recently that tsunami came. People were vacationing on the beach and all of a sudden here comes a wave. I saw one photograph, there was a hotel, like five-story. The wave was like 5 stories high wave. I have a photograph, copy of a photograph. It shows this huge wave, 5 stories, maybe 6, 7 stories high wave coming. What you can do? If you see it early enough, you can run as fast as possible and you might escape it. But there's one wave which is coming, and that is death. No matter how fast you run, it will get you. That's a fact. You cannot avoid death. There are two things in this world that are absolutely guaranteed: taxes and death. So what were you doing about it? If we simply carry on with our ordinary business, eat, sleep, mate and defend, then we are not prepared for death. If we die in an unprepared state, that means again, just like if you're in the university and you don't study, you're not prepared for the final exam. What happens? You have to repeat the course, isn't it? If you fail the course, you have to repeat it again. So, if we fail the final exam, death, then we must take the course again. In the university, at least we know when the exam is scheduled. But in this course called Life 101, the final exam is a pop quiz. You never know when it will come. Therefore, one must always be ready. We should live each day as if this is my very last day on this planet, because one day it will be. We have discussed this point many times. We cannot guarantee we will live for one more minute. So are we ready to leave the body now? Someone may object, you Hare Krishna people are so morose. How you can talk like this? Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Let me enjoy. Come on. Why are you trying to take my enjoyment away? But that's nonsense. We are giving the real enjoyment. They are holding on to some false enjoyment, Maya Sukaya. What is that false enjoyment? The combination of the senses with the objects of the senses. The tongue, the genitals, the ears, the eyes, all of these senses, you see. There is some false sense of happiness there. Why false? Because it is not the actual self. If you are hungry and you come to my house and I sit down here and take prasadam, and by the wall there is one mirror, and I offer the plate to your reflection in the mirror, will that make you happy? Will that satisfy your appetite if I feed you off the foodstuffs to your reflection in the mirror? So our material sense gratification, we are just, this body is simply a reflection of the self, the actual self. It is not the real self. You see? So no matter how hard we try to enjoy this body, we can never enjoy because it is not us. We are meant to be satisfied on the platform of who we actually are, not who we are not. So in this Krishna consciousness movement, we are simply teaching people how to enjoy on the platform of what you actually are. Why they should object? It means they're not hearing. That's all. They're not hearing carefully what we're saying. That's all. They don't know how to listen. Their minds are running here, running there after external sense objects, which will never satisfy them. Material sense gratification, kama, is simply a mirage in the desert. One time I saw a painting and showed a man in a business suit running full speed into the desert after a mirage. He may have very nice business pin in the Western countries. They have these pinstripe suits and the wingtip shoe. It's it's the status symbol of being high level executive. Pinstripe suit and wingtip shoes. So he may have all the trappings of a high level executive. But if he's simply running after a mirage in the desert, then he is simply meeting with destruction. That's all. He is simply meeting with failure. He is not meeting with success. They take it as success to become a big politician, to become a big businessman, to become a big golf star. You see? They take that as success. But it is said, every dog has his day. According to the law of karma, you see, every dog will have his day when, you know, he's on the news. So this dog is very nice. He wags his tail very nicely. He has a wonderful bark. You see, every dog, according to the laws of karma, every dog has his turn to be glorified. Yes. So we will all get our chance to be a Brahmaji, to be Indra. We will all get our chance by the laws of karma to have these big positions in the material world. We have already had, actually. Every one of us. Prabhupada explains the first birth the living entity takes when he enters the material world. Do you know that birth? Does anyone know what is the first birth the living entity takes when he enters the material world? Yes? Brahmaji. Each and every one of you sitting here in this room, you were Lord Brahma. Did you know that? All you ladies, all you gents, each and every one of you, in the past, you were Lord Brahma. We've all been in that position as Lord Brahma. It's amazing. Prabhupada explains it in his purport in the Bhagavatam. You also, Nisringa Prabhu, you were Lord Brahma. You see? But what had happened? Now you become bewildered soul wandering around Karmasuva, wondering what's going on. Taking shelter now of Guru and Krishna, trying to get out of your confused state, isn't it? Yes. We're all wandering around Suva, bewildered, what's going on? Somehow we are fortunate to come in contact with Prabhupada's movement, and now we're becoming saved, you see. So, the point is, we may have big position, but what is the use? Shama eva hi kevalam. If it does not lead one to spiritual perfection, then whatever you may be doing, even though it may be considered very glorious in the material world, it is simply waste of time, royal waste of time. And on the other hand, if what you're doing is being offered in Krishna's service, then it is simply wonderful what you're doing. It may be a very big thing, it may be very small thing, it doesn't matter. It is simply glorious if what you're doing is offered in the service of Krishna. So that art we must learn. Therefore, Guru comes. Guru comes to teach us how to dovetail our consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. That is glorious. That connection with the individual living entity and the Supreme Being through love. The Mayavad, they want to destroy love. They say it's all one. But if there's only one, then where is their exchange of love? Love means two, Krishna and you. If it's all one, there can be no love. So how do we think that a world without love can be a happy place? The Mayavadis are crazy. A world without love cannot be a happy place. Therefore, the Lord and the living entity remain eternally separate. But at the same time, they are one in loving, harmonious relationship. Natve vahang jatu nasam natvang neme janadipa. Nachayavana bhavishyama sarve vayamataha padam. Krishna confirms the individual existence of the jivas and himself in the past, in the present, and indefinitely into the future. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. There is no question of the living entity ever not existing in the past, present, or future. Just as Krishna is eternally existing, the living entities are eternally existing. The difference is, Krishna exists independently, and we exist dependently. Krishna is self-manifested, and we are Krishna manifested. We exist because Krishna eternally manifests us from himself. That's why we exist. Krishna exists because he manifests himself for the pleasure of manifesting himself. Sometimes they ask, well, why does God exist? And the answer is for the sheer pleasure of it. He doesn't need to report into the Prime Minister. He has no one to report to. He has no duty to perform. He's simply the enjoyer. So this process of Krishna consciousness is meant to be understood scientifically. It is not meant to be simply accepted blindly without comprehension. Therefore, we have regular lectures here. We have so many books. We want every one of you to become very learned in this philosophy so that you will be very convinced. So the materialistic propaganda will not disturb your mind. It will not pull you away from strictly chanting your rounds every day and following the principles. It will not pull you away from dedication to the orders of your spiritual master. It will not pull you away from being a faithful member of the ISKCON family, working together with the devotees to make ISKCON a grand success in Suva, in Fiji, in the whole world. It's very important that we have a clear understanding of this philosophy. For our own benefit and for the benefit of preaching. We are meant to know the truth and to share the truth. Because this truth will liberate anyone who understands it. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo viti tatvataha chaktva dehang punarjanma naiti mammiti sorjana. One who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving his body, take his birth again in this material world, O Arjuna. So we can simply understand about Krishna, the amazing way that he appeared within this world, within the prison house of Kamsa. If we can simply understand the amazing activities of Krishna, how he lived at Govardhan Hill as a 7-year-old boy and his little finger, did he have to work out at the gym to build up his muscles? Actually, sometimes the artists will make Krishna look a little muscular. The prophet said no. That is not the Krishna doesn't have to have these muscles like we see the men, like the boys, they like to exercise barbells. And they think it's very, they can attract women that way. You see, having the big muscles, you know, hunk. You see, Krishna doesn't have to have the big, you know, muscles. He can live Govardhan Hill effortlessly. Just like without any big muscles. He doesn't need the big muscles. He can simply live Govardhan Hill just like the elephant can take his trunk and grab one lotus flower. So Krishna lifts Govardhan like that. Effortlessly. If we try to hold our little pinky in the air just for 7 minutes, it'll start hurting. If Krishna is holding a whole mountain for 7 days, if you go to India, you'll see the Govardhan. Actually, you think, well, it's not that big, so many bigger mountains. But formerly, Govardhan was much, much bigger. There was one curse by Pulashcha Muni. So that Govardhan is coming down, one mustard seed every day. Formerly, it was much bigger. It's huge mountain. Huge mountain it was. And Krishna effortlessly lifted on his little finger for 7 days. So who was that rascal who claimed to be God? Let him lift the Govardhan. Prove it. They are simply rascals, these bogus incarnations. Yes, I am God. So we don't believe these bogus incarnations. We want the real God. We want Krishna. We don't want anyone else. Bogus, pretender, rascal, nonsense, get out of here. You see, we don't want them. We simply want Krishna. The real thing, Krishna. We don't want to be cheated by any con men into taking some bogus thing. We want the real thing from the ISKCON men. The ISKCON men are not con men. It's like now they have that famous con artist. He's a big in the news here now in Fiji. That con artist. So ISKCON is not con artist. ISKCON is Brahman. Those who know the truth and those who give the truth. That is the meaning of ISKCON man. An ISKCON man, he knows what is the truth, or woman, same thing. He knows what is the truth and he gives the truth for the benefit of the souls who are suffering in this material existence. Prabhupada is our hero. Prabhupada is our example of pure devotional service. We have to follow in the footsteps of Prabhupada, not that we artificially imitate him, but we have to follow his instructions. That is the meaning of being a member of ISKCON. It means to follow the instructions of the founder Acharya, in Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Panamahamsa Padiva Jagacharya Astatarasadashi Srimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. That is the meaning of being an ISKCON devotee. Whatever our beloved Prabhupada is told, that we will do. You see, that is the meaning of being ISKCON devotee. Not that I think, well, I will come here and do what I like and just take advantage of ISKCON to give me some facility to do what I like. No. To be a real ISKCON man means to find out what Prabhupada wants and fully surrender to that. That is the meaning of being an ISKCON man. Fully surrendered to Krishna. Not taking ISKCON as some free hotel. I found very nice arrangement to live comfortably without working very hard. No. The devotee, he works harder than a non-devotee. Out of love. The non-devotee, he works out of fear of not having enough money to pay his bill. But the devotee, he works out of love for Krishna. He wants to please Krishna. So in this way, take very seriously this pathway of Krishna consciousness. Those devotees who take Krishna consciousness very, very seriously, they taste nectar at every minute. They taste sweet, sweet, sweet nectar at every minute. Those who take it very, very seriously. So therefore, I'm requesting you all to take this pathway very seriously. Whatever instructions you have received from your spiritual master, take them very seriously as your life and soul. If you don't have a spiritual master, then you should get one. According to Prabhupada's teachings, you should see who is a proper spiritual master and you should take shelter of him by initiation. In this way, by becoming very dedicated to serving the orders of Guru and Krishna, then it is guaranteed you will not take birth again in this material world. So we thank you very much for your kind attention. Are there any questions? Yes.
Here, Srimad Bhagavatam, we get detachment.
From Bhagavatam, we get
detachment. And when we go to a crematorium, where people are.
Go where?
Crematorium.
Get what?
Detachment.
Okay. Yes. The crematorium detachment is temporary. But Bhagavatam detachment is permanent. That's the difference. You can go to the crematorium and temporarily get some sense of detachment. But after a while you forget that detachment and you will think, yes, I will live forever. Ahani, ahani, bhutani. Ganjantilamayam sheshashtavaram ichchami kimacharyataha param. You will forget. But if you get your detachment from Bhagavatam and you regularly nashta praishta badrishu nityam bhagavata sevya bhagavat yuttama shlokir bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. If you regularly study the Bhagavatam, then you will become permanently detached from the sense gratification of this material world by becoming 100% attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Any other question? Yeah.
As you said that anybody takes first breath as Brahmaji. So before that, they come from the spiritual world, or they are manifesting by the world?
Or what?
Are they come from the spiritual world, or they have been manifested by the God?
Or they are manifested by what?
By Krishna. The soul.
The living entity is never unmanifested in the... Of course, the jivas in the material world do go into cycles of dormant and wake. But even when they're dormant, they're still manifested. The living entity is an eternal manifestation of the Supreme. It's never that he is not manifested by Krishna. So when he comes into the material existence, it is not that he didn't exist. Because Krishna says there was never a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. So that means he was existing in the spiritual world, in the pastimes of the Lord. But he became envious. Why Krishna should be center? Why not me? So Krishna gave him a chance to try being the center to see if he likes it better. And then he realizes, no, it's not better. It's better to let Krishna be in the center. Some devotees, some people are making argument nowadays. The living entity does not begin in the pastimes of Krishna. Because how could he ever leave the pastimes of Krishna? Therefore, he must have come from somewhere else. They make that argument. But that means they don't have a very deep understanding of Krishna conscious philosophy. Devotees who make that argument, they don't have a very deep understanding. It is said, nitya badha, nitya siddha, eternally liberated and eternally conditioned. These things are very high level philosophy, but if one goes deeply into understanding, then it becomes very clear. There is no time clock at the passageway between the material and spiritual worlds. Time doesn't exist there. So there's no time when you enter the material world. So if you're here, that means you're always here. And when you go back to Godhead, there was no time when you entered it because there's no time, there is no such thing as time at the juncture between the two worlds. When you re-enter the spiritual world, there was no time you entered it. That means you were always there. And you never fell. These things are very high-level philosophy. But one becomes purified by devoted sadhana, then these things become understood. Actually, we never leave the spiritual world. We just think that we do. Just like someone sitting in the Bhagavatam class, and they go, we sometimes see it, we're giving the class, we look out at the audience, and sometimes we see when the devotee is going, you know. You see? He's still in the class, but he thinks that he's somewhere else, that's all. So actually, no living entity actually ever really leaves the spiritual world. Everyone's an eternal part of Krishna's lila. But sometimes they nod out. And they think, yes, I am God. They try to enjoy in this material world, you see. Driving a taxi cab around Suva or whatever. You see. This dream state, yes, I will make money. I will decorate my family members nicely and I will be God, you see. Dream state. But actually, when we wake up, we realize I was always here with Krishna. I was just thinking that I was somewhere else in the material existence, trying to enjoy. I was actually never, the whole thing was just a dream, actually. I'm actually an eternal devotee of the Lord. I have my Swarup. You've not read in Bhagavad Gita, Swarup Siddhi? The living entity has his eternal form in the spiritual world. Swarup. We just nod out sometimes in the Bhagavatam class. You see, and we forget that I am such and such devotee in the spiritual world, serving the Lord eternally. So this Krishna consciousness process is very nice. It brings us back to our eternal spiritual nature. We shouldn't try to jump artificially. Well, I think I'm such and such gopi or such and such gopa, or I think I'm a peacock. No. Don't try to jump artificially to some liberated position. You have to faithfully execute the process of sadhana bhakti under the guidance of your spiritual master and the senior Vaishnavas. You see? Faithfully execute the process of bhakti, and that day will come when you will realize your swarup, your eternal like rasa in the spiritual world, and that will become revealed to you. So faithfully serve the order of Guru and Krishna, and that day will come. Any other questions? So, yes, speak up. The acoustics are bad and I'm hard of hearing. Actually, come right here and ask. Just come here and tell me right in my ear. Why? Let's just make it easy. Come right to my ear. Yeah. Just come right here. Just come here and ask me.
How we can see material world related to Krishna.
Okay. How we can see the material world related to Krishna. Yes, this is a very nice question. Rasoham apsukonteya prabhashmi shashishuryayo pranavasarva vedeshu shabdake parisham nishu. Actually, in Fiji, it's very easy. Because here, The sun and the moon are very beautiful in this Fiji land, you see. The moon over the mountains, you see. You can just see, Shashishur. Krishna says, Shashishur, I am the light of the sun and the moon. Or here, it's very, when it's nice, when it's so hot, you see, we drink the water when it becomes very hot. This summer is very hot here in Suva. And that water is so refreshing. Now you can think, ah, Krishna is the taste of the water. This was the first lecture I heard from Prabhupada in 1971. The first day I saw him was in Golden Gate Park. And he was lecturing on this verse, Rasoham Mapsukondeya Prabhashmi Shashashariya. He said to become Krishna conscious is not a difficult job. It simply requires practice. He says every day you are drinking water, once, twice, thrice, more than that. If every time you drink water you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. So in this way, and also by having very good sadhana, I have many students all over the world who ask me, Gurudev, they say, how can I be Krishna conscious throughout the whole day when I go to work? How can I stay connected with Krishna all day long? And the answer is very simple. You have to have a good sadhana in the morning. Would you leave your house if your mobile phone was not fully charged? No, because it'll go dead in the middle of that important phone call. So where is your battery charger? You're wearing it right now. Hold that up so everyone can see. Hold it up in the air. Yes. This is his battery charger. Spiritual battery charger, you see. By chanting very good japa, you're charging your spiritual battery. In the early morning hours, Prabhupada says, before sunrise, you see. If you will get up by 4 o'clock in the morning, take your bath, put on some tilak, and some devotional clothing. And if you can come to the temple, then you do that. If you're not practical, then at home you do. Same thing as we do in the temple, you do at home. You have a little arti, for Tulsi and Guru and Panchatattva, Radha Krishna photo. Some simple arrangement, but have a nice little arti, Tulsi, and then you chant your japa with great intensity and focus. And then you read a little Bhagavatam, and then you begin your day's activities. And then, because you charge your spiritual battery fully and completely in the morning hour, then wherever you go, you will see in relation with Krishna, you will see that everything exists within Krishna, and Krishna exists within everything. Do you work at some company, or you have your business, or what do you do? What is your employment? You live in the temple?
Yeah,
full time in the temple, living. All right. Well, then you can see that this temple, how it is, this temple building is the manifestation of Krishna. How every square inch of the building, you see the ceiling, the tiles, the yard, this is all Krishna's energy. Bhumirapo nalovayu kangmano vadari vacha. You can see how this is all emanating from Krishna. All the facilities here, and everything, even around it, the sun, the sky, the moon, the houses in the neighborhood, everything here is the energy of Krishna. And what does that mean? That means that you are not meant to enjoy it. You are meant to engage it in the service of Krishna. As long as I think of trying to enjoy this energy, I will not be able to see it in relation with Krishna. You know who was guilty of that? Does anyone know who was guilty of that? Ravana. He didn't see Sita as the energy of Ram. He saw Sita as someone that he could enjoy. You see? That was his big mistake. Ram killed him for that mistake. So we should learn from the lesson taught to us by our guru Ravana. He is our guru in that sense. He has taught us, don't try to enjoy the energy of Ram. You see. You must engage the energy of Ram in the service of Ram. If you try to enjoy the energy of Ram, Ram will kill you. You see. So do not try to enjoy the energy of Ram. If you engage the energy of Krishna, the energy of Ram in the service of Krishna, the service of Ram, then you will see Krishna and Ram at every step. In everything you do, you will see Krishna everywhere. Premanjani charito bhakti vilochanena santaksa daivaridayesha viloke yanti yang shama shundaram achyunt yugana svarupam govinda madipurusham tamaham vajami. So that's the answer to your question. Now you must do that without fail. You must never try to enjoy the energy of God. You must simply engage the energy of God in the service of God. With every thought, with every word, with every deed, in all times, places and circumstances, from now on and forevermore. Any other questions? So, we thank you all very much for attending this evening's class. I'll be speaking here again, morning and evening, up until, I think, Sunday evening. Yes. And Monday I'm going to Tabi Uni. So, up until Sunday I'll be giving classes here. Anyone wants to meet with me personally for darshan, I'm also available for that. So, we thank you very much once again. Rajavidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.